Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States and the next U.S. Senator from Texas, Jim Collins, and his lovely wife.
This is the inner group here. And I want to tell you how proud we are to have the president down here visiting with us in Texas. And I thought about it as we came down. He not only is a great leader, but proving what a great leader is the type of people he calls on as his good right arm. As the vice president of the United States, we have George Bush, whom we all know as a Texan, as his chief of staff, the man that is close to him all the time in the White House. We have Jim Baker, who's a Texan. So with that type of a combination, you've got a winning deal. And I might say, Mr. President, that down here in Texas, when you ran for president, you carried with the largest vote that anyone ever carried when they were running for president. We believe in you down here in Texas. And I want to just add one other thing. When I was thinking about it, I was coming in here. I wonder how many of you remember his speech of 1964. Did y'all? So many of you remember. We were talking about the cross of gold that William Jennings Bryan made. And the speech that the president made in 1964 is bound to go down in history as the greatest political message that there ever was. And what he said about economics was sound for America then. He has followed it since then, and it's sound for America today. What we are so proud of, Mr. President, is you stand today like you've always stood as a man that's of the people, for the people, and the President of the United States, Ronald Reagan.
Thank you all very much. Well, it's great to see all of you here, to be here on behalf of Jim Collins, and I can say unequivocally, we need him in the United States Senate. With your help, he'll be the second Republican Texas Senator. You know, I'm going to be very brief with this, and then maybe at least we can say hello individually to a few of you, because I understand that you're going to go out there and hear a little bit more of a speech at the rally, so shouldn't inflict two of them on you. But let me just say some things here. I know that you've been hearing a lot of charges against us recently, and I hope that you remember also that just 2 years ago, we inherited an economy that literally was getting off the cliff. There'd never been a time in America, even with the Great Depression, when we faced double-digit inflation, 21.5% interest rates, high unemployment, and an unprecedented tax burden all at the same time. It wasn't like we were trying to get the patient to jog for exercise to build himself up. We were trying to keep the vital signs going while he was on the emergency table in the emergency room. With strong support from people like Jim Collins, we pulled America back from the brink of disaster. The single most important thing that we've accomplished is to get enemy number one, inflation, back in the cage. And that is at the root of our economic disease. In the past, we haven't had the courage to stay the course, make inflation permanently. But believe me, I'm determined that this time it is going to be different. There have been seven previous recessions since World War II to this one. And always the same cure was applied, and always the same result was the next recession. In 1980, inflation hit 18% at one point. Now it's down to 5.1 for the 8 months, January through August of this year. And that last month, it was at an annualized rate of 3.3. And now, The interest rates that were at 21.5% are at 13. And tomorrow, one of the major banks in the country has announced they're going to be 12.75%. The grim results of high taxing and spending between 1970 and 1980 were a decline in the real wages and the weekly earnings of the working people of this country. Those were the so-called policies of fairness and compassion. Well, today, progress against inflation and the first real tax cut for everyone in nearly 20 years have produced higher savings, higher real earnings, and more purchasing power. In 1980, the prosperity of American families was being destroyed. Well, in 1982, we're rebuilding that prosperity, and I happen to believe that that's what the compassion and fairness are all about. We still have one problem, of course. There are still too many big spenders in Washington, and you can fix that by one. That is in the Senate. He's been doing it right in the House up till now, waiting for them to pass a constitutional amendment to balance the budget. It's like waiting for a hog to turn away when you announce lunch. But you know that your neighbor, Jim Wright, voted against them. Jim Wright voted against the balanced budget amendment, and then he criticized our projected deficits. I remember seeing it on national television, almost gleeful at the fact that they had managed to kill the balanced budget amendment. And then he said, smilingly, well, he said, if the president wants a balanced budget so badly, why doesn't he just present one? Well, I think everyone knows that it would be impossible after 20-odd years of deficit spending to all at one fell swoop be able to turn the government around to a balanced budget without disrupting the economy. But the hypocrisy of his statement is that he is one of the greatest leaders in turning down some of the budget cuts that we've asked for in the two budgets we've submitted. We never have gotten a budget as low as the budget we've submitted in the two that we have turned in. They have succeeded in making us compromise and accept less spending cuts than we've asked for. And I think people ought to remember that on Election Day. But I think our choice is clear. Do we go back to the failed liberal course of high raising taxes and giving government a blank check to spend and borrow, which is what our critics clearly intend to do? Or do we keep our trust where it belongs, with you, the people, who are proving in Texas the great things a proud people can do if government would just set you free? I know the choice Jim Collins will make, so please get out there and get him elected. Shake everyone's hands here, and I could shake a few in the front line, or I could stay up here and not shake hands and maybe take a question or two if you'd rather. Which would you rather? Nice to see you. What? All right, who's got a question? Somebody must have said, boy, if I had a chance, would I ask him? Does anyone have one?
I've got
one. Yes.
Why aren't you calling out Martin Frost?
What?
Why aren't you running a Democrat against Lucy Patterson?
Well, I'll be talking about more, and I'll be talking about some more people out there, but yes, we want your incumbent House members back, and then you'll have to hear that again because I'm going to be saying it out there. And then we want to add a few to them also. Someone else with a question? Huh? No?
I'll make a statement, Mr. President. I think everybody in the room loves the way that you handle Gary Arnold. I'd like for you to get mad a little more often.
it's easy to get mad in Washington, but that day it just pushed a little too far. And my mother had always taught me that I was never to tell anyone to shut up. Yeah, I think she would have forgiven me if she were still here. Well, listen, you don't seem to have any questions. I'm going to try to shake some hands and